everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi there. Thanks for that song again that I love. Hello, get up. Let's see what you got.
Exactly. I'm so like, you know, listen, this show is all about I dare you, everybody out there. I dare you. I dare you to be all of who you can be. You know, enough of the making choices based in fear, enough of living life from, you know, looking underneath the covers and the veil of the third dimension. You know, it is so, we are literally in the energy that is so supportive of jumping off cliffs so we can learn to fly. And it's time to fledge. It's time to fledge here on the Mystical Mother Show. So that was my little cheerleading to all you guys. So I hope you appreciate it. Yeah, and that is Styx, fooling yourself.
Oh, okay.
So,
it was good. It was good.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling good, you know? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling I'm the one they can't beat, and I know it.
You know it.
I do know it. Yeah, I do know it. And, you know, I'll tell you, knowing it, going into August 2012 is a really, it's a really comfortable space to be in. Really, really comfortable. And it's so funny because the paradoxes galore. I mean, life is so paradoxical. It's so amazing how, you know, the consciousness and the awareness that I'm getting about making choices like leaving Scott. And, you know, I got the sense that, you know, people wanted to know what was up with that because it seemed pretty abrupt to the outside world. And what I'm going to share with that is that, you know, when I'm in touch with my soul, which at this point I really do know that I'm in touch with my soul every moment of every day. It is, Carolyn Mace speaks of self-esteem as the active part of spirit in our lives. I have self-esteem, and I am consciously aware of the active part of my soul in my life. And my soul really... you know, it's interesting. Scott was about me experiencing and exploring a piece of myself. And in all honesty, he is and always will be. I love him. He is absolutely one of my the loves of my life. One of the loves of my life. I have a few. I do because people bring awareness to me and consciousness to me, mm-hmm. And He brought the awareness and the consciousness of my shadow side. And it's so interesting because what I am really strongly recommending to people is to really be authentic with yourself when you're making choices that are following the good girl or the good boy paradigms. Because I had this intuition that, you know, I'm definitely for when I create my world, when I turn inside out through zero point and it's all about I am a creator of light, I hands down I will not have the violence in my creation. And, you know, it'll be a much more gentle, much more harmonious world. But let's not put the horse above the cart, because we're not there yet. And the truth is, I was really being quite authentic exploring the shadow side with Scott. I mean, I can remember saying to myself while I was dating him how comfortable I was that, you know, I didn't have to pretend to be this perfect spiritual being. You know, that we really kind of allowed each other to have flaws, and not just flaws, but to explore, you know, dark humor. We explored anger. We explored violence. And, you know, authentically speaking, I'm very grateful. I enjoyed exploring those things. I really did, because they're a part of me. And what I got today, which was so interesting, is that I'm definitely done exploring dark things. But I'm done because I explored dark things. Mm-hmm. We cannot declare being finished with something if in our life, in right now, in our face, there's a shadow aspect that we are that's been created around us. If there is shadow, and what's our shadow aspect? More than likely what it shows up as is people around us who are opposite to what we are. You know, Scott is very opposite to me. He, you know, the whole autism with the, he doesn't talk, he doesn't communicate through talking. Clearly that's not me. He doesn't express emotionally. He expresses energetically. But now here's the key. Because I was willing to be authentic, because because here's the truth. I was attracted to Scott. And it's so funny because I still love Scott now, but there was an attraction in me. It was a magnetic sensation that I felt pulled me towards him. And that magnetic sensation, like a switch, has gotten turned off. And what I really heard from my soul was, the dynamics of Scott and his mother, who has Alzheimer's, that dynamic is changing, and which has nothing to do with me, but in the changing of that dynamic, my soul switched my attraction meter off, because that dynamic is not for me to join Scott with. It's not my place to care for his mom and be a part of that experience. And I know this because inside of me, I'm being directed that we're complete. Me and Scott are complete. And that wisdom is so profound, because it hit me in the woods today that my desire is definitely to be fully, soulfully living my love and my expression of my joy on this planet. But there's no shortcuts, you know. And in my authenticity, the last 5 years that I've been with Scott on and off, hands down, what was brought to me was priceless. I mean, authenticity, ability to go within to find my joy, continually having the reflection of itself, be self-reliant, and self is my being, is my sustenance, not outside of me. These are all incredibly powerful awarenesses that, from my soul's perspective, I could not have done without Scott. Mm-hmm. And the gratitude, the sheer gratitude. Now, and just as a sidebar, if we called up Scott right now, Scott hates my guts right now. Scott is so angry with me right now. And you know what? As my dear friend Ellen said, the divinity of how I am experiencing the conclusion to our physically spending time together, the eternalness of Scott is I will always love Scott, always. And it's a part of me. I didn't kick Scott out of my life. I literally embodied the part of Scott that's me. And in that completion, I don't have an electrical charge that magnetically attracts me to him anymore. It's just the charge has been switched off, and so I sense it, and I'm like, okay, you know. And you know, that's not to say I don't miss Scott. I have to work, well, not work. I have to experience, however long it will be, that I miss him not being in my world. But it is very clear to me that I am motivated and inspired to start a new chapter right now.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I'm doing. And I, you know, I feel phenomenal.
Yeah, well, you know, having known you now for over 2 years, and you know, being a part of all the progress, and you being
right
a
on.
Scott,
right
and
on.
What I was recalling as you were talking was what you know. There's so much progression, and I could you know move along, but what stands out to me is my noticing, and I know you know this isn't unknown to you, but my noticing of you was there was a learning or a changing or a softening, a maturing, and you really you came to more of a still place and patience, and even though there was uncomfortable, probably you know maybe recognizing a maybe like sometimes maybe not a resonance in your nature with him, but I got to witness and you know it's funny because you used these words on the show as we moved along when you were in process of you know maturing self-esteem
infinite
integrity
trust.
Infinite trust you know
yep.
Including the ceremony on New Year's Eve, which was the marriage to self and then to Scott. So
exactly.
You know, I got to witness these, but you know, it, interestingly enough, one of the words that really sticks out for me, or two actually, is softening and maturity. And you know, that's really what I think. Your strength is really obvious, but the softening and the maturity are just such, you know, for me, I was like, there it is. And and the recognition of your decision really felt very, none of it felt abrupt or panicked, or there was a softening and a maturity and just a knowing. And there, you know, I'm sure you have your feelings, but for me, I'm picking up a lot of this, it's solid. It feels solid to me. This isn't like, you know.
That's a great word. Yeah.
And another thing that I thought, you know, you posted maybe an hour and a half before the show on Facebook, but also to me personally, a interview between Lisa Harrison and Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And
yep.
One of the things that I picked up, and I noticed that that you and I and them are saying a lot of similar things because this is the authentic timeline or organic timeline. But I noticed that they both said that they've been through a lot, a really lot, and they've stayed, you know, aware of self, but that they've never felt freer as they do right now. And I think that that's very true, that, you know, if you're staying with the work and you're staying internal and you're recognizing what the outer world is teaching you about yourself and reflecting back to you, and you're taking it in, and it's not, you know, it's not a judgment thing here, but there is ultimately what you feel is freedom. And
so they
said it, and as you're talking, I'm saying, you know, there's a freedom to Goldie. Right? Do you feel that?
Right. Of course. I absolutely feel it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's so amazing because freedom, you know, I just read that book, Frederick Douglass. A narration of a slave. And, you know, it's so interesting the nature of freedom just doesn't mean that everything, you know, is happy.
No, it's not even. It's a very, I always use this word sober, and it has nothing to do with
that's
alcohol.
That's a great word. Right,
it has
right,
to do
right.
with clarity and level and seeing, and, you know, there's a soberness to this freedom. It's not like an elated, woohoo, I'm so free and everything's great and, you know, I have everything I ever wanted. And you
it's,
know, it's
not ecstasy.
About any of that.
I mean, it is, but it's not. Yeah, right.
Right.
It's not that bliss. Let's say that. It's
right.
not bliss.
It's once again, it's like the word I used before. There's a solidness to it. There's this
exactly.
soberness. This is like, you know, how you feel after you've really achieved a certain, you know, I mean, you see the results of going in and staying with staying with self
exactly.
and not pretending that your flaws are someone else's. I mean, I love, you know, and you saw yourself and you see, you know, you, with Scott, you learned a lot. And I saw an introspective person who got in touch with softening and maturing and self-esteem and was completely open, and it was the process. And, you know, it struck me right before the phone, the radio show, that I was like, oh, you know, Golden Hawk read Frederick Douglass's book, and she said, I know it's going to be life-changing. and you know.
Yeah, no kidding. I forgot about that.
Right. And, you know, these, and that book, for all that the energy that Frederick Douglass, he wrote that himself, you know, that book holds something that I think you tapped into, that when I read it, it was such an important piece of work. But it's not just the story of Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass is giving you his liberation. He is, because when you read that book, you feel it. And that's
you do.
Why I,
you do.
That's why
yes.
I say to Goldie, I go, boy, I think every kid in school should be reading that book, and guess what, or not, you know, because it's very freeing, you know. It encourages I can become sovereign by knowledge and self-taught knowledge. And yeah, people helped Frederick Douglass along the way for sure, and I completely say yes to help all the time. Yes thank you, you know. So
absolutely
right. But I do believe, you know, they're, you know, just want to say thank you to Frederick Douglass. And he is one of my heroes, as Goldie asked me once, who's one of your heroes? I was like, Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, no, and he wrote this book in 1834 or 1838,
yeah.
or those with it. And I'm telling you, it's still applicable, because the freedom he speaks of
yes.
is the timeless freedom of our soul.
Timeless freedom.
Timeless freedom. You know, give out the exact title so if people want to.
Okay, so if you go on Amazon or, you know, wherever you want to go, I mean, I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying that's how I find books easily. But, you know, Frederick
yeah.
Douglass, it's the narrative of a slave. And I love when it says this, written by myself.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what it says. Written
and
by
it is.
Myself.
It's written. And I'm telling you, because it's directly his words.
Yes.
The energies, this is why the book has such a powerful.
And it's a small book.
Experience.
It's, like,
it's very, yeah, it's
like
you could read
incredible.
It in a day. Yeah.
You can, yeah.
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 Yeah. And it's deep. And it's deep. You know, it's as deep as Viktor Frankl's. You know, when he wrote about in Auschwitz, it's definitely,
yes.
it's a challenging read, but it's a read that shares the presence of the journey. Because I've been so consciously, how can I put this, wrapped in like this conscious cloud that I understand destinations, I do, but the big destination is the zero point. And in route to the zero point, it's a journey that's literally, you know, for some of us, you know, millions, billions years old, you know. So because it's funny talking, you know, they always say it's the journey is more important than the destination. And normally that's true. However, this lifetime, we do have a destination point. You know, there is an ascension going on. But what's so funny is there are people, and Laura and Lisa talked about this too, about, you know, they're like, I'm just going to cruise through the next 6 months and let it happen. And Lisa stated, no, she gets, in her experience or in her point of view, she feels, no, this should be participatory. Because what struck me so profoundly in the woods today was, I mean, lots of things were actually striking me profound. It's like everything is striking me profoundly today. Well, everything is striking me profoundly since I made the decision to move back home full time with my dad. I mean, that just profound awarenesses and profound synchronicities. And like what I really got is, you know, this lifetime is not the reason why I promote, and I'm going to say promote, being authentically in our shadow side and really embodying, you know, mm-hmm. being dark, really embodying that, if that's in your life, because this lifetime is about the soul coming into our bodies and creating experiences for us that will balance us. Mm-hmm. The key is, in order to get balance, if I'm in the dark, that means more than likely there's probably been a ton of lifetimes I've been probably more swayed to be in the light.
Yeah.
And once we start understanding that, because it's the language of the soul so speaks to us that, you know, it's like if the organic ascension is the timeline that you resonate with, we have to experience, there's fragmented pieces of us scattered all across time and space because we've gone through this separation down through the dimensions to experience in every level of dimension more and more separation. If we're not willing to allow the soul to experience the things that need to put us back into balance, you can't ascend with pieces of you still scattered around the universe. It's got to come back into this body, so at zero point, when we flip ourselves inside out, all of us will flip inside out. It almost seems like it's like a guaranteed trap, not a trap door. What's the opposite of a trap door? Where it's a fail safe. It's a fail safe. That's why. I mean, your soul really is. You know, how can I put this? The soul is creating experiences for us that are often, you know, scary, dark, feeling kind of opposite to where, you know, we're promoting light and the shit just continually hits the fan. You know, like, and you're going, what am I doing wrong? And it's like, you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
What the soul wants you to do is surrender to the shit hitting the fan, whatever that troubling situation is, surrender to it, acknowledge it, own it, cellularly own it. Because once the soul gets the experience, it's almost like the experience is the bridge that allows the soul to actually, that piece of us comes back into our bodies. And once it's back in our body, it's transformed because we're not, you'll explore the darkness and the shadow, but, you know, not through the pain of others. Through your own transmutation of pain through self.
Yeah.
And it's extreme. Denise, Alana said to me the other day, I thought it was so brilliant, I was excited to share it on the show, that she consciously practices what she calls, what is it? Wait, let's see, let me get this right. DVCs. And a DVC is, wait a minute, let me. Or DNCs. No, that's something women get, isn't it? Wait a minute. It was something to the effect of DVCs, do victimless crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of goes back to the idea of, you know, being willing to become deviant and be defiant. Because it cracks me up when I hear people say, you know, well, you know, I'm not going to break the law. And I'm like, you know, listen, I appreciate that. You know, and they'll say, I'm in integrity. I'm not going to break the law. But when we start understanding through awareness that, you know, our TV sets are basically set to the frequency for us to not awaken, you know, to take pharmaceuticals, which will kill us and make us sick. And, you know, when you start understanding how corrupt the matrix is, breaking the law is really about exactly what Frederick Douglass was speaking about. It's about breaking out of the matrix. We've got to become deviant to the matrix in order to go beyond, so we've got to be willing to do shadow work. And I don't mean shadow work saying, you know, because I read a lot of these pages going, don't get angry at anybody. just hold your presence and keep your light, you know. And I'm going, that's wrong, in my opinion, because not expressing, the key is don't express your anger at an animal or a human, but you got to express the way the how it left our bodies. It left our bodies in through anger, through pain, through injustice. It's going to come back the same way. But the key is when and that's the thing that I think gets everybody so kind of, you know, confused, is that when you're going back the second time to relive these painful energy packets, we think that we're going to respond the same way we did, because most of this stuff happened when we were children and actually felt powerless. And it's exactly the opposite. When we experience that shadowy, painful vulnerability energy, once it comes back in, presence is what is created from that experience.
And then
presence goes with you through every experience thereafter. I mean, it's literally pieces of our shadow side equate in integration equate to the presence. And I'll tell you, presence is what's going to trump chemtrails, GMO foods, television stations that, you know, that are programming all of us, you know, to walk into walls and kill each other, or walk into movie theaters and kill each other, and all that crap. You know, it is presence that is the, it's not about conquering it by making it go away, by, you know, we got to, you know, because that's some of the stuff that I don't necessarily resonate with Laura Eisenhower. You know, it's about, you know, kicking the dark cabal off the planet. It's like that to me doesn't. I'm going to a different level, and the level I'm going to is in my presence. They don't control. I am free. They're whatever they're throwing at me, it's not going to work. And what's, you know, and I can tell you, my whole life I have been playing with illegal and immoral things, and I have never, quote unquote, been subject to a punishment by the government, by my parents, by any kind of authority that at some point in time I felt had authority over me. Because it was authentic what I was doing.
And, yeah.
Right? I mean, I just want to share with everybody.
I think Frederick Douglass, you know, according to the law, slaves were okay to have. It really wasn't okay, and he knew it. And
there you
clear,
go. Thank you.
You know,
right.
And he did the right thing, and he self-empowered himself by learning to read and write, and it was a game changer for him. Self-knowledge and all the power he thought he had lost, he gained, and it was his liberation. And you know, so yeah, I think that, you know, we start seeing things very differently about, you know, what is law, what isn't. But one of the things that when you said something about the soul and that you're not, you know, don't be afraid of what the soul is showing you, or and that you're not doing anything wrong, because something I have found, like in the last 2 months, that it seems so simple, but I never really looked at it this way or said this before, but I've noticed that, and I think this works with that idea, that somehow people at times seem to be afraid of their emotions. And I learned a lot about when someone said to me, when you're feeling something and it's uncomfortable, bring it into you as close as you can. Do not push it away. Do not resist it. Don't be, and my vocabulary, I would say, don't be afraid of your feelings, because when you resist them, what I find to be amazing is if you're afraid of your feelings, you're literally becoming a foreigner to yourself, because you're afraid of yourself. And how can you ever align with yourself if you're afraid of yourself? So, you know, I so much encourage people to, when they're feeling something, don't be afraid of it. It's like, it's almost like, it really is good news. Feel it. It's there. And because Because when you feel it and you bring it in, it no longer holds that you know, boogeyman quality or a foreigner quality. It's you. And then you can, it's like that's when this sober freedom comes in, you know, because, and it's experiential. I mean, I'm trying to explain it, but I'll tell you, it's completely experiential. And
right on. Just
a practice would be when you feel that horribleness of what someone might, you know, of loneliness or aloneness or I'm a failure, I'm a loser. Feel that, and it won't have this power over you. It will take you exactly where you need to go, which is to a place of freedom. And you know, and there's a maturing quality happening, and there's a softening happening, and there's a strengthening happening at the same time, and there's this breaking out of an old paradigm that we were somehow always told that our feelings were, you know, we're not supposed to feel those things. And it's like, that is so wrong. And you know, I really liked that I've come across this because I see it helping people. And it truly did help me. I mean, it was about 6 years ago, some woman said to me, do not, when you get those feelings, bring them into you. And I did. And I'll tell you, it's it took a while, but it worked. And, you know, it's the freedom that Golden Hawk's talking about, I'm talking about. And I also think, here's some supportive good news, that right now, even as opposed to when I got some of that information, I think right now it's highly supportive to this. Like, you know, good for you, you're feeling your feelings. Good for you that you're not a foreigner to yourself, you know. And so, you know, it's just one thing that I have noticed. And I think Goldie and I, when we talk, you know, alone, it's always about go there, feel it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yes,
we encourage that with each other. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And even her song that she played, you know, that she always surprised me with, which I love, is, you know, you know, it, get up and you can do, get, you know, get up and go there. You can do this. And,
this
is not a pep talk. This is like facts.
Right. No, say right on. It is. Because
we are in
August of 2012. There's this weird paradox going on that, I mean, on my timeline, which is in alignment with George Kavassalis' timeline, this zero point is, you know, it's going to happen. So on some level, you know, when people are like, well, we have all of eternity to do it. Well, we did, but not in this lifetime. I mean, there are exceptions to every rule. And the potential for us to graduate from the matrix and become creators. And the truth is, you wouldn't want to become a creator in the universe if you still had fear of something taking you over, because as a creator, there won't be any fear, because there can't be any fear. It's almost like the power has to be equivalent to the integration of the experience. Because two things that I was thinking about. Jay, did you ever see the movie V for Vendetta?
No. You know, it's been recommended to me several times.
I got to get you to see that movie because so we can reference it. Anyway, Well, there's a part in the movie, and unfortunately, I'm going to kind of screw this up for you.
No, that's okay. I don't mind.
Okay, thank you. There's a part in the movie where V is teaching Evie. She says at one point, I'm just tired of being afraid. I don't want to be afraid anymore. And what he literally does is he creates an ambiance, a scenario that appears very real to her and literally tortures her. And right when she kind of breaks in that she's willing to die during the interrogational torture that he's doing to her, but she doesn't know it's him, he goes, now you're free. And she says, there's a part, there's a line in the movie where he was kind of keeping her captive, but she was captive as by choice. After this situation, she goes, you know, you can't keep me here anymore. And he goes, I know. He goes, but will you come back, you know, on whatever the D-Day that he wants to, you know, blow up the whole thing in London? And she's like, I'll come back. And when she comes back, there's a line that is so poignant in the movie where she goes, you know, when after I left here, I was standing in a grocery line behind somebody who, you know, I had known, a neighbor who I had known my entire life. But they didn't recognize me because I'm not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, like, I just so felt that we are not the same people when we have integrated our shadow side. We are not.
Yeah.
We are so much more soulful and so less human. That's the truth. And it's so funny because it's from all the stuff that the culture and the religions are calling the sins and the, you know, don't, you know, I posted on the wall today, insanity, exploration of self with it, you know, because me and Alana were talking about that going, how funny that insane, like go within for sanity. But
yeah.
what's the definition of insanity? You're a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Or,
huh.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, out of touch with reality, but then it's like, which reality?
Right.
You know,
right. Well, right. And because understanding life from within is the golden key to graduating and birthing from this matrix. First, we must, I don't want to necessarily say master, because master may, we just got to accept that we came to a dimension of separation. So let's, you know, on some level, let's expect to have a dark side. Because that's the nature of polarity. You couldn't be here, and you wouldn't know your light if you didn't have a dark side. You know, because this whole idea of being totally or artificially only in the light, you know, we don't lose our tempers and we love everything. You know, it's just so, to me, it's so clearly artificial and a distraction. But I also understand that the people who are, you know, just naturally attracted to that, that's their journey. But the organic journey, our natural attraction is to, we've come to this lifetime to balance who we are. And there's an amazing awareness that you can be in your shadow side and still have integrity and still have this inner knowingness that you can talk about killing and you can talk about violence and yet not become it, not really. It's not just talking about it either. You know, like I was fully embodied in a future with Scott, even though I knew being with him meant, you know, that I would, you know, sacrifice per se an emotional relationship, a physical on some level relationship. But it was like, you know, that's where I was drawn to be. So this is what I tell you guys week after week. I was fully in that decision to be with him forever. But when my soul said, nope, take a left, you know, we're done, I, you know, packed my stuff and said, hey, it's been great. See you later. You know, but it was real for me, you know, up until last week until I knew I was leaving. You know, don't be afraid to fully embody and because that's when the cells get it, the soul gets it, and when the soul gets it, literally from within us. You know when people quit smoking or quit doing drugs? When our soul goes, okay, you've had enough. You're not doing it anymore. And, you know, we go, okay, now I'm ready. So let's stop being in competition with our soul and let's start being in alignment with the soul, because the soul is not just about taking us on the ride of goodness, happiness, and jelly beans. The soul wants balance. And if that includes a shadow side and dealing with violence and dealing with crime and unlawfulness, if you trust your soul, I promise you can experience those things without any repercussions from the powers that be. I'm living proof of it. And there's power to know that you can experience it without going to jail or without being killed. Because, you know, I really believe when I was watching on the Matrixes, when you see Neo throughout all three Matrixes, when he dies, but you know what? His journey is still to, you know, basically, you know, free himself from the Matrix. Well, so we're not dying today. You know, he was shot with 7 bullets, and he simply came back. Because I really believe that when we're in our lore, which is L-O-R-E, which is, George puts it perfectly, that is the journey of our soul. That it will keep our body alive even if, miraculously, even if physics say, okay, we should be dead. I mean, Janine, Chuck's, it was clearly the woman's lore in the bookstore or whatever when you resuscitated her and there was no brain damage and there was no repercussions of her being, you know, unconscious or flatlined for however long she was.
Yeah, and that was, you know, medically you would think that that was impossible, but it happened because I was present and was part of it, and, you know, that was amazing. And, well, you know, yeah, I mean, defying the law of physics as we have been told, you know, so I witnessed that, and that made an impression on me about, well, there goes that, you know, rule of science out the window, you know.
As an experience, too. I mean, meaning it's not, you didn't read it somewhere.
Oh, no,
you're in your life.
Yeah. It was, you know, and it's life-changing, obviously, as it was for her, it was for me. And, you know, I often think that something happened between her and I because I felt such a love for that person who I'd never met before, but she was just there lying on the floor, that in a way, it was extraordinary because I, out of nowhere, this was a surprise, you know, but I'm having this incredible, intense experience with a stranger. And it remains to this day, and it's 2 years, you know, well, it was like a year and a half, but it still remains today as I go back there and I go, wow, you know. And saying that, it reminds me of what you said in the movie V for Vendetta, because when she was standing in the grocery store and she was kind of unrecognizable to her neighbor, you know, I was thinking how, and I've said this to you in a sort of flipped, affectionate way, but really meaning it, that I have died many times in the last, you know, 20 years in terms of letting go, move, and transformation. And I do think that, you know, there's a physical change. There's an energetic change. There's, you know, I think that really, you know, that really is, I mean, it's unexplainable, and yet it's not, because we're experiencing it, you know, and that's almost like where I end up all the time. I'm like, boy, you want to dialogue this, but it's so experiential, you know, because it's happening. It's, you know, I've died so many times, and I don't mean my heart stopped. I mean, you know, I went through something difficult and I came out and I was transformed.
Absolutely.
It was completely willing. I was so willing. And, you know, there's this vigilance to my process. And I think that, you know, and then what you've noticed is this beautiful momentum, you know, because, And then, I don't know, it just seems like Lisa and Laura were saying, there's a freedom that I feel from so many of those deaths. And,
of course.
Right.
Because they can't be held over your head. They can't be, you're not threatened by that which you were afraid of in the beginning.
Yeah, they're no longer. They're
no longer
a
threat. Yeah.
So, Yeah, so lots have been happening, right, Goldie?
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of...
right.
Well, I figured that was a good segue, right? It's speaking of meeting people in grocery stores.
Yeah, speaking of the past and the grocery stores, and also just you with Frederick Douglass, then you leaving and moving in with your dad and leaving the relationship with Scott and... Me, on Monday, I was down in the basement cleaning, really doing a house cleaning off and on, trying to sort of go through the house, which is interesting in itself. And I was down in the basement on Monday, and Goldie and I were talking off and on, and I was talking about the spiders. And, I have no fear of the spiders, but my sons seem to have, and they're very courageous young men in other areas, but they have this strange thing about spiders. And so I was down there, and the spiders became a topic with Goldie and I, and, I said, well, there's such a feminine energy, and maybe there's a mystery and a hiddenness and a powerfulness to these spiders that, they may be sort of not as familiar with as I am, and, from my lifelong process and my deep feminine nature quality and I don't know, my mothering thing the spider became, oh, and I also said, I'm really down there cleaning and I'm going, yeah, it's like cleaning the past, and you're saying, yeah, the subconscious. And so that was Monday. And a couple things then in the next 48 hours or almost less than that were simple, but they were remarkable. One was Monday night, I noticed on my bank, I was online banking, and a check that had cleared on Friday for my son, wasn't for me, but it was for him doing his album. And it's important. It was an important check. And Friday it cleared, and Monday at 8 p.m., I go on, I see I have an alert banking thing, and I see that the check that was clear on Friday was not clear Monday night. And things were bouncing. And I was like, oh, this is wow. So I start doing some fancy covering of these things so we don't get hit with, all these penalties. And so I was really stressed out about it. So I write an email to the person who handled this, and this, literally shouldn't have happened, but it did. So the remarkable thing was I wrote an email like, well, the check was clear, now it's not, and I have a mess on my hands, please help. And so I said. So I went to the park on Tuesday morning, and I went to go do a great, walking and running, and it's beautiful there in nature. And when I came back to the car, I had a message on my phone, and it said, okay, we're so sorry for your stress, but... so-and-so, I don't want to mention names, so-and-so is going to personally wire the money from their account to yours to help you. And this so-and-so, I never met this person, I don't know this person, and this wasn't a tiny amount of money, but I was going, wow, thank you. And, this person maybe felt obligated because it was sort of their fault, but, that didn't mean they had to do that. And I was wow, that is amazing that a finance person who probably deals with someone who has millions of dollars just decides to help us out, me and my son, because the stress level was high, and he said, I don't want you to be stressed. And I was like, I don't even know this person. Interest-free till everything gets straightened out. And I was like, that's really beautiful. And you know what? I could tell that by me acknowledging this person for the gracious and thoughtful thing that he did, I actually could feel in his emails something going on for him, like how good he felt about helping me. So that was amazing. And, it doesn't seem big, but it was, because this isn't a typical person to me that would do something like that. Okay, so then that was Tuesday, and literally... I wrote this down so I could remember for you guys. So the next day, and I'm so pleased that things are being handled and I'm not dealing with the check bouncing nightmare. So that was handled. And the next day I go back to the park and, you know, I'm doing my thing in the park, moving, breathing, feeling good, you know, decide, oh, I'm going to go to Whole Foods, get some water, get some fruit, make a smoothie, go back, take care of the, do my house stuff, do all the things that I do. And, all right, so I'm in produce, and I'm picking up some fruit and vegetables, and I just turn around, and standing before me is a woman whose face looks familiar. And I say, is that you? And she said, yes. And she said to me, her eyes filled up, and she said, I am so sorry. Now, this is a person I haven't seen for 21 years. I have, you know, definitely moved on a long time ago, but this was a meant-to-be thing because, and this is what's going on lately, energy thing, I think, and this was a friend of mine who had a very, what would seem like a long, very, very deceptive affair with my husband, and I didn't know it, and it was really painful when I found out. And it didn't cause the end of my marriage, but it really, really rocked my world. And this woman was a friend of mine, and I truly liked her. And so did my mother, you know, and we were shocked how, and there was many, many stories of true deception, like this, just, you know, the lies, and it was pretty crazy, actually. So here is this person standing in front of me, and she is saying my name over and over again, and she's telling me how sorry she was and how she hadn't slept literally for like 10 years after that. And she started crying, and I started crying. And I said, we're crying in produce. And she smiled and laughed, and she goes, oh, my God, you're still funny. You still have a great personality. I'm so sorry. And she grabbed me and hugged me, and she was sobbing in my neck and in my ear, I'm so sorry. And I said, it's okay. It's life. It's life. It's okay. Look at me. I'm okay. You know, and that happened again with my husband, just so everybody knows, about 6 or 7 years later. And it just wasn't meant to be. And I left the marriage, and, you know, all is well. And I died many deaths. And it wasn't easy, but here I am. And it was a remarkable, remarkable, out of nowhere experience, and similar to the man who lent me the money that didn't have to, and I could tell by me graciously thanking him for something he did, I could tell it was affecting him. Well, this standing in produce at Whole Foods with two crying women, and I was feeling what was going on between the two of us, and the healing that was occurring for her was unbelievable. And for me, I could feel it too. But I was more steady. It wasn't, I didn't feel, you know, I didn't leave that. I haven't been in anger about that. I haven't been in anguish about that. But I could feel that she has been, and she truly was sorry. I could feel it. And I said, you know, it's so obvious how much you cared about me and care about me by how you feel right now. And, you know, and it's true. And you know, the feelings of caring about each other were there. And she said, please say hello to your mother. And I did. And it was wonderful because my mother liked her too. And it was a great story. And you know, she had her own story where her marriage just didn't work out, but she has a son. And, you know, and she's grown up so much in these 21 years. And, you know, she's kind of found her virtues, as she said, you know. And it was incredible. It was incredible. And, you know, it's similar to the woman who at a book signing, you know, collapses on the floor and I resuscitate her, but it was miracle-like. And, you know, the man that helps you, who gives you money that you don't know because he knows you're so stressed out and the check is bouncing and you're in Whole Foods and there's a very important person who really, it was a highly disruptive, painful experience in my life and in her life as well. And there we were. And it was, so, you know, this was, I mean, I don't know, it's like Frederick Douglass, it's like Goldie's process, it's the spider, it's it's the time.
It's the grasshopper. Grasshopper.
It's the grasshopper that Goldie saw in the hidden deep feminine cave. As far as I'm concerned, you know. And by the way, my spider's down in the basement, you know, hidden in the corners, and you know, and I don't see nothing about that's negative to me. Nothing. I love the hidden dark. Because, see, to me, that's the deep feminine nature. And what was going on between this woman and me was truly the deep feminine nature at its best. It was completely amazing.
You were exquisite. And I'm not saying, I mean, she was receptive, absolutely, and she played a part. But when Janine told me this story, which was within the week of me leaving Scott, and I was so excited that we had not done the radio show yet, because I was like, you're so going to share. I was like, will you share this on the air? And she's like, yeah. And because, you know, when Janine told me that story, the first thing that struck me, I just have to say this, is Janine literally gave the woman a dignity, her dignity, about the situation. Because, see, the soul really does understand the larger picture that, you know, we came into a dualistic environment, and that, you know, there's going to be victims and victimizers. There's going to be abusers and those who are abused. There's going to be rapers and those who get raped. I mean, these dark energies, really, that is a part of this experience. We cannot continue to say it doesn't exist. No, it needs validation, because the darkness, as I'm discussing in the chat room, the darkness is our divinity.
Yeah.
And because Janine's integrated her darkness, when she was telling me the story about this woman, I could so feel that, I mean, even in that moment, Janine was giving her dignity, because the woman started sharing that it was about karma and punishment.
Right, because her ex-husband that she's divorcing now, you know, was a womanizer and a very bad drinker. And she goes, I guess I got my punishment, my karma. And I go, oh, no. It doesn't work like that. Don't, you know, I just didn't feel that at all. This was not about punishment, you know, red with the red scarlet letter. You know, that is so, so artificial dogma. Prehistoric. That is so. To me, I mean, it doesn't even resonate with me, this whole punishment thing. But like, I didn't get, you know. And I freed her. I did. I know, because I said
you
no.
Freed her. That's exactly.
I did.
You
because
took
she
her
probably
chains
thought
of
she
guilt.
Was being punished.
Well,
you know?
Absolutely. She didn't think it. She said she thought it. That was the karma statement.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's so funny, because it's a beautiful gift, I guess, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, when I was blowing oxygen into that woman's lungs and, you know, pushing on her chest, you know, I was giving her something. I was giving her life force and love. And then when I was standing here with this woman, you know, and it was an instinct of mine to work to resuscitate this woman. It wasn't a thought process. And and it was an instinct of mine to respond to her. I didn't think of it. It was just, it was like I was resuscitating her in a way, you know. If any piece of her, even if it was 20% or 30% or 40%, whatever, thought that, you know, the gift was this there in produce, you know, two women are having a profound experience where, you know, I'm telling her, no, there's no punishment there.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're not standing. This isn't, you know, and now, you know, you have done your sins. You know, none of that. It's like, oh, please, let's buy some apples and be happy. You know? And I was funny, and it's so easy for me to be funny, because it's just part of my nature. And, you know, it did strike me, because, you know, I was sincerely engaged with her, but it did strike me that, you know, here we are crying in produce, and, you know, there's people shopping all us around us. And, you know, and I said that to her, and I, you know, actually, you know, I lightened her heart, because, you know, and she remembered that I was so funny, and, you know, and that definitely hasn't gone away. And she said to me, You are so positive. Stay positive. And I go, I don't worry. I will. I am.
Indeed. Well, but, it really, it just really struck me. Because when Janine told me the story, I was, I felt it. I mean, I felt the soul's, experience. You know.
So did I.
Yeah,
it's
undeniable. And, you know, this is all happening, you know, on a week that, you know, I'm going to share another, you know, just truly miraculous, me and Janine don't understand it, but it's happening. Last week's radio show, you guys have, you know, beautifully hit the archives over 800 times. I honestly can tell you that there's no rhyme or reason in the sense of there's nothing calculated. We didn't bring in the great guest from, you know, wherever. It was just me and Janine doing our shtick, you know, sharing our journey as honestly as we know how to share it, with the intention to let everybody know that, you know, that there's some there's coerciveness and there's deception going on, that, you know, we're the ones they can't beat. Now know it.
Right.
Because when we know it, it really makes the difference of the choices that you'll make will be, you'll see that you'll do unlawful when soul says go unlawful, you will. And not just to be unlawful, but because in that extraordinary moment, going unlawful is the L-O-R-E full, what to do. Because there's no particular thing that you could do, anything that's either right or wrong as you know, a platitude of that it can't be, you know, it's either found on the right side or on the wrong side. No, that's not the way this whole balance things work. It works that you listen to your inner guidance. And, you know, and it's wonderful because your soul will work with you from the inside. You'll be attracted to things. If you're attracted, follow that attraction. You know, and if it's, I'm attracted to chocolate, but no, I'm not going to eat it because, you know, it's bad for me. I'm going to get fat. I'm blah, 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 blah. And, you know, in that chocolate, with it ever in the chemistry of that chocolate, can have literally the properties to regain flow from the soul. I mean, trust, infinite trust that your soul is inside of you, working with you with a knowledge that is so much grander than the personality and the brain have. We are limited in our scope in just the physical part, the 3D part of us. So surrender the 3D. Let the 3D be the servant to the more expanded and more encompassing of the bigger picture, which is the soul. And when people, you know, will it affect family and society? I can almost guarantee it. I can almost guarantee it, and not necessarily, they won't necessarily embrace you and go, oh, thank you for doing soul work. But you know what? They don't need to embrace us when we're doing soul work, because the journey's not about the outside. It's about the inside.
Yeah, and you know what? There's so many things moving through me right now, in kind of ideas or awarenesses. But I think you've talked about this when you said, if we get like on a first name basis with our soul, or we literally can, we're literally no longer, there's not a divide between us and our soul. Because what I'm noticing lately is that, like, for instance, in the moment of the experience with that woman on the floor that I was resuscitating a year and a half ago, or even in the emailing back and forth with the finance guy who I said to him, thank you so much, I could feel the response from his soul. In standing in the Whole Foods produce department, I could feel the interaction of our souls with this woman in me. And I think what ends up happening is that you don't have to look back and go, oh, that was the soulful experience. It's actually, you know it as it's happening. And
absolutely.
I think,
absolutely.
And I think what's really beautiful, amazing, and I love, you know, telling these synchronicities is that, you know, the woman said to me, oh, please say, how's your mother? She asked right away, and please say hello to her. And I thought, now that really is really lovely. I mean, you know, she even thought that, you know, my mother would want her to say hello to her. And I did say hello to my mother, and then that affected my mother's soul because I could feel it. I literally could feel this happening, and that's why I knew. I was like, I couldn't wait to share the story with Goldie. It was a soul experience. And then, you know, just to kind of give everyone another, like, wow, can you believe the synchronicity? today, August 2nd, was my wedding day. It was the day I got married in 1980. To,
wow.
You know, the man that she had the affair with, the man that I was married to, the man that I have two sons with, you know, that I eventually got divorced from because it was, you know, kind of unsustainable in a way, and I didn't resonate, and I wasn't growing, and I had to get out, and it was good.
Wait a minute. It was kind of unstable?
No, it was unsustainable. Yeah, it was. It was. I guess I could, you know, yes, it was unsustainable. I
make that declaration today.
I can make. So I did, you know, but here it is. I said to myself, wow. And last show, Goldie played Here Comes the Sun. That was last Monday.
Right.
And she didn't know this, but that was the song I picked on this when I got married after we just said our vows of I Do for, you know, to each other, and we walked back down the aisle to Here Comes the Sun because I chose that. And Goldie played that last week, and it was a very sweet song to me last week, and I was just so, and it's been sweet forever. It's never been ruined, ever. I just don't feel that way. I don't have any of those feelings. I feel so, you know, all these things have gotten me to hear, and you know,
exactly.
to be aware that these are soul experiences in the moment it's happening. You know, I'm just making that connection right now while we're on the radio. But that is really when you are, you know, you're in the moment and you know it. And it's, you know, and it can happen in all degrees. It doesn't have to be the most astounding, you know, meeting of a 21 years ago of a relationship that was, you know, difficult, but, or resuscitating a woman, or, you know, a man lending us money that really I've never met. And, you know, it was fabulous, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be,
it could
so
be finding a feather.
Little,
it could be finding a feather.
Right.
Absolutely.
Or a moment in a grocery store just between, like, but not, you know, 21 years ago thing, but just any kind of interaction, you know, where you feel it happening, you know, and so it's just been, you know, we've been excited to share it with the listeners, and I love that people are listening to our archive. I mean, I don't know, it makes me smile, and I think that, you know, that I know that the listeners are feeling these synchronicities, or, you know,
that's what's most amazing.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking at people, I'm having conversations with people, and they're starting to say things like, you know, you know, I was listening to Cryon, and, you know, Cryon, that's a huge channeling, and, you know, with a pretty big listening audience. And, you know, and a dear friend of mine goes, yeah, I really got that, you know, going back to the DNA, that, you know, that's a distraction. And,
yeah,
you know, these are subtle
yeah,
subtle world. And I remember in Alana back in the day had asked me like 13 questions on my website. And what was so interesting is one of the things she said to me was maybe who was my hero or something. And Or I forget how she asked it, but it had to do that I was like, I hope to be just like Howard Stern. And, you know, Howard Stern is a very controversial shock jock, but I love him. I love him not in his content. I love him for his authenticity. He mm-hmm. just is so authentically himself. But I also, what I loved about it, I was like, you know, if I was ever to get, you know, to the state of, you know, 8 million listeners a week or whatever, like Howard Stern, that would mean 8 million people are aware of the subtle. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because I was telling my friend Art, who's listening, shout out to Art.
Yeah.
Hi, Art. Love you, Art. I was listening to a channeling from Adamus from Sedona. I resonate with a lot of the things that the Crimson Circle say, but then there's some points where I'm like, okay, you lost me on that. But one of the things I heard in this channeling, which really struck me as truth, was that up until recently, approximately 10,000 people had reached enlightenment in the journey of this cycle of humanity. And that today, and I don't know, remember when it was recorded sometime in 2012, and he goes, today we're at the 11th hour, the 59th minute, and the 59th second, when 27 million people will become enlightened.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just struck me as such a, like, it just, my cells drank that number, and that wave of truth just drank it up and went, the 59th minute of the 59th second before 27 million people awaken to enlightenment.
Mm.
You know, we really are on the cusp of something just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it was interesting because the show was inspired about, you know, being in the flow and feeling stuck. You know,
Right.
You know, I mean, that was initially what he was.
That was initially, right.
But that was what was coming up last week. Preparation for Monday's show, I kept babbling to Janine, I don't get stuck. You know, I really don't. You know, if something comes up, I got to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. And then literally like a couple of days later, you know, breaking up with Scott became what I had to deal with. And it was so funny because I love the way my soul works with me, because there is a humor to it. There is a cosmic humor of, well, you know, you're babbling all week, you don't get stuck. Well, you know, the message has been sent. It's time to be in completion. That, you know, I just really go, okay. You know, I mean, but that's not to say, you know, I feel it. I know when I make this choice that there's going to be moments of sadness and moments of missing him. But I'll be honest with you, I can't say anymore that there are moments of doubt. I'm not saying this, you know, to, you know, toot my own horn. But the truth is, when we become practiced at listening to our intuition, listening to the subtle tones that speak in a whisper, as opposed to, you know, taking a brick to our head to get the same message across, you learn. You it really does become that you trust that. First of all, there's no right or wrong. That's not what I'm not striving to do the right answer. I'm striving to become one with my soul and let my soul's experience dictate my choices. Because in my truth, that's already the truth. So, well, then I need to be aligned with that. And
yeah.
I can feel that, you know, there are still ego desires, even though, boy, they are dropping like flies off of me. I mean, I am really... In the day we live in today, you know, August 2nd, 2012, I absolutely have, you know, less ego desires, and I am flowing more from the stance and the space of, I'm connected with my soul, I'm confident that my soul and Mother Earth are absolutely the journey that I have chosen. And I'm kind of on point going, okay, what do you want me to do right now? I wake up. What am I going to do today? Okay, you know, and am I going to go to the woods? You know, am I going to, you know, go visit friends? Well, what? And my life is just, I mean, because it was so funny. Yesterday, at 9:30 in the morning, a power wire just drops across the street and takes out my internet and my phone. And I laughed because, you know, initially me and Janine had planned the show this week to be Wednesday nights. And then a nanny gig came up, and I was like, all right, I'll take the nanny gig, and we'll just switch it to Thursday night. Well, I don't know when the cable guy fixed it. I mean, I called up and reported that, you know, we got a live wire down on my street. You know, you might want to come and take a look at that and fix it. But it was like I could do it without any stress, without any worry, because I didn't have a show going on that night. The show was going on. Oh, my God, there's a big bug in my room.
What kind of bug? A beetle.
No, I do have spiders, definitely.
A big beetle?
Well, it's probably not as big, but when it's flying towards my eye, it's big. no, he's not a big beetle, but he's a beetle. Go ahead.
No, and funny enough was, and not that I couldn't do a show without the internet, but I had electrical work going on here, so they had the power off in this section so there was no internet for me till after 10 p.m. So I didn't have
nice.
That.
Nice.
So,
see?
So,
right.
You know, so,
yeah.
So there's just this, you know, it's almost like, I think your person you love listening to, and then I love listening to what you tell me, what's good is Robert Young.
Yeah.
He just sort of, I mean, from what I get from Robert Young, is he's like, you know, just let it happen. It's like,
right.
I mean, I know we need to be interactive and proactive, but there's something, you know, something about letting it unfold, letting it happen, speaking of being in the flow as opposed to being stuck, there's just this, I mean, just even this last week into this week of what, you know, you and I have experienced, there's just this, to me, and this increase in, you know, letting it happen, and wow, look what's happening, you know, and...
Well, and the support. Don't you feel so supported?
Yes, on many levels. Like,
yeah.
I do in the beautiful, subtle world and the, you know, the mysterious creative forces, but I also feel it in this world right here that you and I are talking in, and, you know, they're helping, you know, and I feel that, I do, and I'm a big supporter of help, and, you know, I always, when people act like, oh, I don't need help, and I did it all by myself, I'm going, well, you know, what? Get rid of the pride. Who cares? Get help. I'm like, help.
Yeah, well, you know, because remember the show we discussed that, you know, being sovereign doesn't mean we don't accept help. That is, that's ludicrous.
I was just going to say, and I think the soul really likes that, and I know you're going to say, get the think out of there.
Get the think. Well, exactly. We know the soul likes it.
The soul really likes it when you're, you know, you're open enough and you're vulnerable enough to go, yes, help, it's great, you know. So that doesn't mean you're not sovereign. In fact, I really truly know that a sovereign being knows that help is wonderful, you know. So,
well,
right?
And here's this is what comes up for me. Okay, so
okay.
Alana has this, she's got bronchitis. And several years ago, I mean, like over a decade, I bought this like $800 air filter from her mother. This is when I was living off of credit cards, and Goldie was just spending money on, you know. Well, I was actually supporting Alana's mom because she was my friend at the time. Anyways, so Alana's on the phone with me having a conversation, and she goes to me, you know, she told me about her, you know, she wasn't able to breathe, and, you know, there's some soul work that needs to be done because Alana needs to speak her truth, and I won't get into that. But I basically said, all right, listen, you want my air, you know, it's not an air conditioner, it's an air filter. You want my filter? Take it to your house. She's like, really? And I was like, oh, of course, babe. And, you know, she goes, I asked my mom, and, you know, my mom has like 3 or 4 of them, but she wouldn't give me one. And it was so interesting because when I went over there and we were talking about it, it was so, now this is the perfect example to understand how the soul works. See, when Alana goes to her mom, there is a level of dependency because mom will take care of me. So I realized that mom saying no was actually in divine order that, you know, it's about because Alana has to unhook her cords that, you know, we get from parents, that parents are, you know, here to take care of us. And I'm not saying that parents won't take care of us, but if everything's in divinity, so Alana's mom saying no to her was in divinity, where with me, she didn't even ask me. I just offered it.
Yeah.
And so the thing is to kind of understand that because
It was clean, too. It felt clean.
It was clean. That's a great word because this is the things that Scott taught me, that if we're asking for help from people who are, you know, we're in the dynamic of codependency or passive-aggressive behaviors, these are the, you know, the manipulating dynamics of energy, then one answer is going to be divine, where that same answer might not be, it might be completely the opposite and still divine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, we can ask for help, but if all we're doing is asking for help, don't be surprised if help says no, because we've got to know that it exists within us.
Yeah.
When we know that we have the strength, we are that, we don't have it, we are the strength that will get us through any crisis that needs to be gotten through. As long as you know the strength is generated from within, when it shows up as synchronicities, hey, you know, hats off, indulge in those synchronicities. But if we're manipulating or we're in our head, you know, going, how can I get this from this person? You know, you're trying to figure it out and, you know, you can't fake this stuff. The soul works through authenticity. I mean,
and I see the help that, you know, that I'm noticing is it's kind of in divine order because it just is. And it's, you know, I'm really grateful for it because, you know, a lot of what I've learned has been very, you know, I've done on my own. And it's like now I'm like, you know, when help comes my way and it's clean help, which, you know, I'm finding it to be, that I'm like, yeah, this is beautiful, wonderful, thank you. I mean, because right now, for me, what my work is about is collaborative. And, you know, I'm a writer, and that can be very solo. I mean, really solo.
Yeah.
You know, you create worlds, you go into worlds, you write about worlds, you make up characters. They, you know, having conversations with, you know, characters that aren't, you don't see. And then when you come out of that solo experience of writing, and you go to make the book and you go to get it out there in the world, it then becomes a collaborative effort. And then, you know, that to me is really fun too. And I guess for me, like when I notice help come my way, and it's clean help, it's divine help, but it's like, ooh, this is more collaboration, you know, and
right.
I love that, you know. It's just something I'm more open to now. I think there was a time when I was like, I have a great story about me when I was 4 years old. Or,
okay,
you know,
wait, I just want to share one thing and then share the story about being 4 years old. The subtle world is absolutely collaborating.
Sorry, yeah.
I'm like saying cooperative. No. The subtle world is collaborative. This is why it's showing up in our subtle bodies, not necessarily, and it is definitely showing up in the third dimension, but meaning it's not being covered by the media. And so, you know, just like with Scott, where I was feeling sadness and I was feeling strength simultaneously, we're going to feel everything right now. Everything is up intensely to be experienced right now. But just because we feel, you know, that the outer world is, you know, pretty much collapsing, you know, you want to breathe through and acknowledge that also in the subtle world, it is absolutely, here we sit, 800 hits of the radio show. Clearly, we've got the group is expanding that resonates with the things we're saying, which is ultimately collaborative.
Absolutely.
You know, that is a collaboration. So I just wanted to
share. Yeah, and you know, that's funny because, you know, here you and I and we're doing the radio show and loving whoever listens, you know,
yeah.
just like writing a book. It's like at times it's, you know, it's just you and me. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, now we're moving out past a new, like the process of that creating the radio show and really building momentum and sharing our, you know, process and, you know, having so much fun doing it, because this is like, to me, I don't know, it just helps me so much get to know me even more, because I'll hear myself saying things that'll go, wow, you know, and if it wasn't for the radio show, I wouldn't be processing like this weekly with you and with the audience. I'd be processing with myself. So I love the radio show and how it lets me do that. And here now you see this collaboration of, it's not five people, six people, it's 800 people. And that's
yeah.
just another one of those meeting the woman in the produce section things, you know?
Well, yeah, it's a shift that I look at it and go, it's something significant. It is, because it's a number that, you know, is just such a jump, you know. And we've progressively gone up in the past month, but, you know, these are Crimson Circle numbers. These are numbers that, you know, I've had with, you know, guests that have been, you know, writing books and touring the planet for the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you know, it's us. It's Janine and I sharing our journey, but it's not even just Janine and I. It's Marsha calling in. It's Ellen calling in. It's Art calling in. You know, it's everybody energetically that's connected with this, because the acknowledgement that we have on the mystical Mother Earth is that, you know, we're all on Mother Earth right now.
Yeah.
And I really get the sense, if you're listening to the show, your journey is organic, and there's a you know, a coagulation. Like me and Art were talking about this today, how it almost feels like, you know, picture a web, and there's points. We're all different points on the web, but, you know, whenever something, you know, tweaks the web, you know, in the left-hand corner, everybody feels it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it seems that the network is, you know, one of the main the main stream of consciousness in this web, in this network, is a self-awareness, self-responsibility, and the desire to really be soul-based. And but I mean, because what I really get from the people that I'm talking to, based on the show, that, you know, when we're exchanging phone numbers, and is the understanding that, you know, the deception is starting to become clear, and it's not about, you know, fighting this deception and conconquering the deception. It's really about owning our own deception.
Absolutely.
And integrating it through, you know, at one level, just sitting with our honest truth of our shadow side, just sitting with that. And then having these transformations, dying 1,000 deaths, doing it with the support to know that what we're doing, you know, there might be other, you know, groups getting together saying, you know, you guys are all, you know, you're whack jobs and sinners, yet here uh-huh. we sit in our group and go, you know, we don't doubt ourselves anymore. It's not to say we're done with the, you know, with the integration, but there's a confidence and a clarity that I'm experiencing with people that I can't tell you. It just feels so good, because the soul has been telling me for a while, don't worry about time.
Mm-hmm.
Time, you know, it might have taken us, you know, billions and millions of years to get here, but in the twinkling of an eye, when this paradigm pops, you know, it will be efficient. It'll be dramatic, and not in a negative way. But, you know, I just have this sense that we're going to actually, in our lifetimes, you know, live the dream of the Wizard of Oz. You know, live the dream of the spaces that we knew were there when we were kids. you know, the magical, mystical spaces that Earth has been showing us our entire lives, we're going to know what it's like to be full-time residences in that space, and not judging polarity, but after integrating polarity, which is, it's such a, there's no fight. There's, it's, you don't battle your way into integration. You surrender your way into integration, and the power that comes in it, once we're in this new space, will be the power of creativity, where, you know, we will, you know, we'll do all the things, you know, we'll fly with the fairies and we'll swim with the whales, and we'll, you know, we'll grow our roots next to a flower, you know, and have a communication with a doe, you know, a deer doe.
Yeah.
A female doe. Ray, a drop of golden. I mean, I know I get, it sounds a little corny, but it just, for me, I'm just, it's like, I'm kind of doing, what was that movie with Brad Pitt when he came out old, and then he I never saw it, but he aged backwards.
Yeah, I saw it, and it's a long title.
Penny or something, or
no,
Betty. Anyways,
yeah.
It seems to me there's a youthing process going on. That's Laura and Lisa were talking about that in the interview as well. And there seems to be, it feels to me that I can feel it in myself. It's a you thing of, because I could definitely sense already my body and my energy shifting since I made my choice on Monday. Benjamin Button. Thank you, Elise. Yes. My energy has already started shifting, and I can feel that. You know, the day that the power went out, I was with Alana all morning, and then I hung out with Punky for a few hours, and then I went to work, and I had all this... you were close, Maggie. It's all good. I had all this energy, and I, you know, the subtle is speaking to me.
Absolutely, and I'm not surprised at all, you know, because...
Right on.
I mean, that was you listened to, you know, where you needed to go from there, and I'm not surprised that you felt it that way, and that your body immediately, you started to sense difference in your body. I mean, that makes so much sense to me, you know, and just like I'm saying that when these things are happening, you're aware of them. It's not like you have to look back and go, oh, you know, it's in the moment it's happening, and you're
absolutely,
and your body is reacting, and you're even wanting to put in your body, and you know, it's,
definitely. It is, but listen, you had a story you wanted to tell when you were 4 years old, and I interrupted you.
It was a quick little funny story about me.
Okay.
And my nature, which was, I was like 4 years old, and we were down by the ocean, and I was crossing the main ocean avenue with my parents, and they were, my mother or my father, I'm not sure who it was holding my hand, and we crossed the road, and I said, I'm going to do it myself. And I crossed back the road myself, and almost got hit by a car. I look back and go, oh, my poor parents. I mean, they probably knew right then, you know, uh-oh, Frank, we got one here. You know, because I just really, you know, I was strong-minded, you know. I'll do it myself. And so that's why I smile right now, you know, listening, going, you know, I love the collaborative. I'm good doing it myself. I'm good at writing the story and going inward. But, you know, I'm also really enjoying, which I think is a balance for me, is the collaborative, or some stranger going, don't worry, I'm going to help you today. And I'm going, hey, that's nice, you know.
Absolutely.
Because I'm good at winging it on myself and, you know, carrying it. And so I was like, thanks. You know, it just felt so beautiful. And so, you know, and I'm sure here I am helping people. So, you know, it's this beautiful balance. So, So
well,
I'm
and
just...
I have to say, wait a minute, I have to say, me and Art called the web, it's the network of helpers.
Oh, and isn't it funny that you're referring to, like, a spider's web, right?
I'm absolutely referring to the spider's
web. Right, so there
web.
It is again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But that,
yeah.
And that, and it's like, and it was literally by design that we were scattered all over the world. We were never meant to be clustered because what's happening is now we're moving almost soul to soul, heart to heart throughout the web because in our awareness of the soul, we are communicating without the internet. We're communicating on the internet. And how do I know this? Well, I simply know this because the stories that you're telling me, Art had a synchronicity where a gentleman came up to him and gave him a laptop computer for free.
Oh,
and
I
he
remember
had
that. Yeah.
No, this just happened like yesterday.
I remember the great story he told me like about years ago when he got, you know, out of nowhere for his boys. I remember
he got
that.
Computers, right. But now it's coming close, they're going to be on the road. And he said, wow, it would be really great if I had a laptop. And, you know, he basically met a gentleman in the grocery store. How funny is that? It's always around food. There's something magical about the mangoes, guys. but he and the gentleman goes, meet me back here in a week. And Art met him. And he put a laptop with XP on it, updated, in his lap, so to speak, and it's yours. And it's
that's
like
so great.
Well, and see, this isn't the key to this is to remembering that when we trust, this network will show up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't emphasize this enough because I have other people in my life who I'm watching resisting the trust and resisting, you know, they're still working at jobs that are beating the crap out of them and their bodies are significantly getting ill from this. I mean, significantly. And it's the lines that I'm hearing, the language that they're speaking is, well, we have a 3-year plan, you know.
Right.
You know,
wait, what's so funny?
How do you not laugh at a 3-year plan as
I thought the fun was back or something.
Well, I mean, you can't have a 3-year plan as time is dissolving and the soul, because remember, the soul is timeless. If we want to embrace the soul, it has to be 100% infinite trust. And based in a spontaneity that has nothing to do with manipulation or passive aggressive, it has nothing to do with that. It has the knowingness. Remember when Carolyn Mace said that the power of the woman who found the peace walker when she found when she found the winter clothes under the bridge. And what Carolyn thought was most profound was not that she went, "Oh my God, here are clothes." What was most profound was that she knew she'd be helped. So when she saw that, she was like, there was definitely appreciation, but there was a level of expectancy of that appreciation in just the knowingness in the subtle realms how this all works. We are literally a network of helpers. But we're not the helpers of the artificial timeline. So we're not going to run around and save the world.
No, it's not like that. It's not a rescue.
It's not like that at all.
No,
exactly.
No,
this is the integration.
No, it's authentic and it's clean and
yeah.
You know, and it's not about codependency and
well, it's about and I shouldn't say that because I can feel Art going, well, you know, it is about helping the world and I agree with that, but in the moment, not, you know, how do I market myself to, you know, I saw something recently that said, I don't remember who wrote it, but they were talking about having our, you know, honoring our abilities and our gifts, and there was a quote, and they put it in quotes, especially in the marketplace. And I, like, damn near threw up when I read it. I was gagging on it going, wow, that's so blunt, because the marketplace is still finances, physical cash. This is all matrix, my friend.
Oh,
this is,
boy,
it's programmed. It's about barter. It's about integrity of doing what's right, because what's right in front of you is what's right. That's why it's in front of you. And in fact, now that I'm thinking, when Art was helping a gentleman try to get a truck out of a ditch, him and his boys worked for hours. Afterwards, they had a conversation. This gentleman is completely living off the grid. He works with solar panels, and he's going to help install some solar panels on Art's on the vehicle that they're going to be traveling all over the country and all over the world with, so that with the solar panels, they'll always have electricity in the truck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Art didn't say, what am I going to... It just shows up.
Yeah.
When we're in that pristine of us showing up. In other words, they saw somebody on the side of the road that needed help. Well, then that's what's in the moment. And he said it was 100 degrees. It was raining. The mosquitoes were just, because it's in Florida, they were wretched. But you know what? That didn't. It showed up. These people need help. That's what you do. You help. I mean,
that's what you do.
That's you know. So it's, see, there's the paradox. So, you know, it's not about, you know, going to seminars and, all right, let's all learn the DNA trick and then be taught as teachers, and now we're practitioners, and now we're going to go out and charge. Don't forget to charge, because that's how you're going to get enlightenment. You know, because it's so funny. Adamus said, one of the things he said in his Sedona talk was, somebody actually came up to him and said, I can't afford enlightenment.
What?
Somebody actually believed they couldn't become enlightened because they couldn't afford it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you kind of, you know, you just want to
go in the woods.
Right? That's what and see, that's sometimes the beauty why people lose their jobs. So they just go in the woods because they can't afford to do anything else. And then, voila, enlightenment.
You know, it's so funny. I'm thinking about... you know, the two books that I wrote, and I look at, and you know, they're always like pre-adolescent children who are on a journey of some kind. But what's interesting is naturally, along the way, they always somehow get helped or have a helper or a sign, or, you know, and at times it's scary, but it's just so funny that I'm seeing that in both the stories that I wrote, the character who's on a difficult journey, because, you know, this is like usually because of self-doubt, they're moving through self-doubt by going on this journey, which is challenging them. So it's an act of courage. But now that you mentioned that, you know, that Art story and this is, you know, real, the peacemaker story, is that it always shows up that there's some kind of help along the way, and I love that, because I think that, you know, that's something to really you know, kind of remind ourselves, or because that's so true, that if you're living this way in the flow, moving along, you can trust it. And I know that's, you know, you're only ready when you're ready, but you can trust it. And
right? Oh, absolutely. Well, and you'll find that when you don't trust it, things will go awry really quickly. I mean, me and Alana were talking about how it really just comes down to, the situations will come up, and you'll have awareness. And when you choose to trust, it will show up just as quickly that when you choose not to trust the awareness, just as quickly you'll feel, you know, things are shitty. I mean, they're just, nothing's working. Whether it be your health, your relationship, your finances, the abundance, whether it's in health, in courage, in peacefulness, in relationships, whatever, is always in direct alignment to how connected you are to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're connected with life, it will flow to you in abundance, and it's a fractal. Because what makes me laugh is, you know, the radio show is doing great. You know, me and Dakini are having ourselves a ball over here. I'm having a great time being home with my punky on a daily basis. And my finances are, you know, I'm kicking it. You know, I got the job. Money's flowing in. I'm going to the water park with Alana. Oh, and by the way, last week I had said to everybody that I was potentially going to start shopping for clothes in a maternity clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bought a Prego. That's what it's called. A Prego bathing suit for the water park.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I've never made a greater purchase online. I personally am not a fan of bathing suit shopping. You know, please, I really don't want to go. That's just not my gig. And this bathing suit, because I followed an inner guidance, fits my belly. It will cover me and support me on, you know, crazy rides from a water park, you know, point of view. And you know, something that was truly, I can tell you, I mean, there's a conditioning about, you know, I'm sure ladies, you know, you'll support this. How many of us have fear of bathing suit shopping? It's just, you know,
yeah.
It's an uncomfortable thing to go through in the public eye, so to speak. But it's a kind of thing, I've never done online because you got to try these things on. I mean, some things you just got to know they're going to fit right, you
right.
know, in order,
right.
you know. But I saw it, and there was the sign inside me went, that's the suit, buy it. And I look pregnant. It's so fabulous. People are going to think I'm a pregnant woman at the water park. But, I mean, I just got so, it's actually so nice that it's like this, what do they call, like a teddy bear shirt, not a teddy bear, a baby doll shirt, you know, where
it
flows out and, you know, it's a halter top. I'm like, shucks, I might just wear the top as a top, you know, one night if I, you know, go out to dinner or something. Or, I don't know. You know, I was just so like, I got to share this with the audience because I did
That's
say
funny.
That.
And great.
Yeah.
Great. And going to the water park.
And I'm going to the water park with, I mean, Alana of all people, which is, I mean, a day spent with her is, I told her the other day when I was with her in the morning, It's like being in the woods for me. I mean,
you
know, it really is. This is amazing
we'll have to have
energy.
Her back on the radio again.
I will. I've thought about that. Indeed, we will definitely.
Yeah.
Because she's, you know, she's a wise soul, in all her 21 years of biology.
Isn't that amazing? It's beautiful.
It is amazing. Right on.
You know, it's so it never fails that every time you did it somewhere about mid-show, but every time you mention the name, oh well, this is the Mystical Mother Earth show. She is our, you know, I don't know, but there's something that every time I'm reminded of who the show is named after, it just makes me I don't know, feel so good and so, you know, like it just couldn't be better. You know, it's just so great, and I just wanted to say that because before when you said it, I go, there it is again. Well, I'm so happy when she says that.
Oh, right on. No, I'll tell you, it really, Mystical Mother Earth, you know, the mystery, boy, the mystery is where the juice of our sanctuary is. It's in the mystery, you know.
Yeah, and she's nature. She and nature are so, they are authentic truth. They are, you know, I think that's, I'm trying to write an article right now for like parents for children and parents who have children about the benefit of nature and being in nature. And, you know, I really want it to be fresh and I don't want it to be like any other thing I've written before. I just want it to be current because I'm thinking, I don't want my ideas about nature from the past. I want what I'm feeling now. And, you know,
well, you should write it outside. You should be outside when you write it.
That's a good, very, 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 very good recommendation. I like
you're,
that.
Yeah, right on. And and you know what you're going to write? Because the truth is, young or old, just write the benefits that you feel from nature. Because
right,
it is applicable to everyone.
No, so that's a very good recommendation, Goldie. Thank you. I will place myself out there. But yeah, so I was just, it just seems to me that there's just something straightforward about nature. You know, there's
right.
So
listen, with that being said, we actually have a little just under 5 minutes to go, and I want the people in the chat room to hear the second song.
Sure. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, no, right on. And you don't know what it is, but you'll love it.
Okay.
And Maggie and Elise will love it, and Z28, all you guys. So,
thanks.
And Art.
Okay.
So can you tell people where we can find you?
Yes, thanks. I have a website, jlkimmel.com, KIMMEL.com. And you can find me on Facebook. I think it's Janine L. Kimmel. But if you can't find me that way, just go on Goldie's page, and I'm one of her friends, and you'll see my name. It'll come up. So thanks a lot. And, yes, I can't wait to hear the song.
Yeah, Janine, I love you. Thank you.
I love you, too.
I love you. You're an exquisite, exquisite partner to dance with. All of you. Maggie, Elise, Art. Oh, my God. Everybody who's listening, I don't know who the other 800 of you are. But find us on Facebook. Golden Hawk and anotherrealityshow.com is my webpage. I love you guys, and I'm telling you, this song is rocking. Feel free to rock out, because I decided that fooling ourselves is what we were going to come into this show with. But now that we have some of the tools and we've discussed it, okay, well, now this song applies to the tools, you know, now that we have them. All right, I love you guys. And we'll be back on Monday night. Yeah, we'll be back in like 4 days. All right, you guys all take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Tonight. Gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world turning inside out. Yeah. Floating around in ecstasy. So don't stop me now. Don't stop me.
Cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Good time, I'm having a ball.
Don't
You guys rock. I love you all. Thank you so much for being here. I love you.
Good
See
night,
you
everybody.
Good night, everybody.